Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask that we receive revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. We ask that through your word, we be much more intelligent. We're helped by your Spirit to be much more enlightened, to walk with you, taking advantage of the gift of our meeting together. In your plans and purposes, we receive peace in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can we welcome one another to service this morning as we have our seat? Are we ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Matthew's gospel is our text this morning in chapter 28. Matthew 28. We're looking at Christian meetings. Hallelujah. Christian meetings. Praise God. We're looking at the truth in God's word about Christian meetings. Glory to God. I want to share about Christian meetings before and after. Hallelujah. Christian meetings before and after. In Matthew 28, this is our text. In verse 18, and Jesus came, speak unto them. Who are the them? It's good to know the them. I told you, in Bible study, you must always know who the audience of a statement is. So you don't think you are the one being addressed. And what is being said has nothing to do with you. Are we together, church? So he said to them in verse 16. He says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So the 11 disciples. So this was an address directed to disciples. Someone said disciples. All right, thank you. So it's good to know that. Then it says in 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus gave him speak unto them, saying, all power, the word authority there, he says, given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then it says, go ye therefore and teach. Are we together? And teach. Now, you know, I don't know, but I think the translators just kind of did something here, and I don't understand why. Because when he says, go ye therefore and teach, praise God. Right. Am I good? Okay, thank you. So when he says, go ye therefore, that's verse 19, and teach all nations. Then I was saying, I don't know why. Because this wouldn't be Matthew's issue. It has to do with the translators of the text. So I don't know why he did what he did here. Pay attention. He said in verse 16, the 11 what? Disciples. Now if you look at verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then the word teach all nations there, and that word 11 disciples, the word disciples. You know, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So the word teach in verse 19 and the word disciples in verse 16 are the same word. Are we together? The word. So I don't know why they chose to use the word teach. You know, and I'm using KJV in case you're not reading what I'm reading based on your translation. So I don't know why they use the word teach here, and then they use disciples in verse 16, because both words are the same. You know, but I love the translations that says, go and make disciples. Are we together? But what I'm showing you is that the statement in verse 16 and verse 19 is the same word. Matthew. Disciple. A disciple. So he says to go make disciples of all nations. In other words, you know, Jesus is telling them to go and do with others. And when he says all nations, I told you before that contextually, there's what all nations mean. You know, today we can look at the word and start applying it. But there was one in disciples' heart when Jesus is all nations. And I told you, it's not far-fetched. If you're talking to a Jew who had believed all his life that God's counsel was meant for them alone, and then you're now saying, go and teach all nations. Without thinking too much, the Jew is hearing that he should extend the counsel to non-Jews. You get it? You get it? Alright. So that shows you that Jews and Gentiles in God's plan. Jews and Gentiles in God's plan. So, all nations in that text will be Jews and Gentiles. You know, today, even in our study many times, I've used the word nations to talk about, or when we say nations, we're talking about, you know, different classifications and groups of mankind, be it of gender, ethnicity, citizenship. You know, today when we say nations, you're thinking about countries of the world. So when it is make disciples of all nations, in our mind we have Russia, we have Ukraine. Why did I add those two nations? Are we together? You're thinking of South Africa, you're thinking of Egypt. Are we together? I would say all nations. I think currently, I think of legally, officially, not legally, the word is officially, there are about 205 countries in the world currently. You know, so you have, we're thinking about 205 countries when it is all nations. But actually, it's simple. When the Jew hears all nations, he simply turns his mind to accommodate non-Jewish nations. And that's fine. Are we together? Are we together? So he says to go make disciples. So we said it would imply to do with others what Jesus had done with them. Simple. Do with others what I've been doing with you. Because Matthew called them disciples. It is 11 disciples. Now, whether the disciples or the 11 alone were the ones who witnessed his resurrection, definitely no, because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spoke about, you know, how Jesus appeared to many people. In chapter 15, Paul has spoken about Jesus appearing to a particular 500. You know? So it wasn't the 11 disciples alone that witnessed the resurrection. In fact, we saw Jesus, if you look at other accounts of the resurrection, it was a woman who saw him first. Are we together? The soldiers couldn't see him because they are in unbelief. Unbelief blinds you. Unbelief disqualifies you. The soldiers were in unbelief, so they couldn't see him. You know, they couldn't see him. You know, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says there was an angel, right? Right? An angel came, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. Angels are quite funny. He rolled the stones away and sat on it. What was he doing? Imagine the scenario. He rolls the stone away, then he sat on it. I wasn't pressing his phone. Like some of us were pressing phone this morning while the song was on. That's stupid. Are we together? That's very stupid. Amen. It is church. So the angel was not pressing his phone. Or let's say he was chatting other angels. Yeah, I don't know, I'm waiting next. No. The guy rolled the stone away and he sat there. Well, that's not my focus. So, the soldiers, the Bible said they went under the power of God. Amen. You know, and the Bible said that they were on the floor as though they were dead. Amen. That means they fell under God's power. Praise God. They fell under God's power. Fell. And they were held down. You see, out there. So they could see. They probably were looking at what was happening. The angels, the power of God was present. Praise the Lord. So
Then we see a woman. A woman. That was Mary, right? Right? That was Mary. You know. Which Mary was that? Huh? That was Mary what? Magdalene. And she was a disciple. Praise God. That was Mary. So Mary had gone to the tomb. You know. She didn't go there because she knew Jesus would rise from the dead. I mean, she just went. He said something now. What did he say? Yeah, you know, exactly. She just went. Because where your heart is, did you see that? Where your heart is, she just went. She just went. You know, to, like you said now, to change the clothes. I mean, to anoint the body. And then she just went. It wasn't because, you know, she wasn't confessing, but my pastor rise. No. That's also okay, but that wasn't, I mean, she just went because her heart is there. Did you see that? Now, if it were somebody else who went, then it would be the person that would witness the resurrection first. But she was the one who went. Did you see that? Look at this. Some things, it is not that God designed that is for somebody. No. It is that person that went. Did you see that? When you go for the things of God, it is yours. It is yours. When you go for the things of God. Did you get me, church? When you go for the things of God, it is yours. So, she went there. Because that's where her heart was. You know. That's her heart. So, she goes. Praise God forevermore. Then she saw Jesus raised from the dead. She didn't know it was him at first. Then Jesus called her name. And then she took a second look. Hallelujah. She took a second look. And that second look was revelation. She looked again. She looked again. And that second look was revelation. Then she saw that Jesus is risen from the dead. Glory to God forevermore. Then Jesus now gave her an assignment. So revelation precedes the mission. Revelation precedes the mission. Did you see that? Revelation. The mission always comes after revelation. And revelation is a function of where your heart is. So when your heart is there, you will see. Then you will know what to do. Did you get it? Did you see that? If you want to know what to do, you want to know what to do. And I'm going to talk about that shortly. What God is doing. So her heart is there. Then she goes, you know, to do what she does. And then she had revelation. She had an encounter. And then she had revelation. And then she knew what next to do. Praise God forevermore. So look at that. Risen from the dead, then he sends the woman, then the woman goes. So Jesus had appeared to many people. But the Matthew 28 text which you read, or which we just read, or which we're reading, you know, has to do with Jesus' instruction to the 11. He gives that instruction to the 11. The 11. Now, because the 11 had a special duty among the disciples. The 11 disciples had a special duty. You know. So he tells them, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Then he says, if I read on, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always It is even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So look at that. He says to go and make disciples. To go and make disciples. So who is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is being taught. We'll say that severally. A disciple. When we say a disciple of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus is somebody who is being taught about Jesus. You are not a disciple of Jesus if you are growing in all forms of knowledge except the knowledge of Jesus. So a disciple of Jesus is growing in the knowledge of Jesus. When I'm growing in the knowledge of Jesus, practical insight about Jesus, then I'm being a disciple. When I'm growing in knowledge, ask your neighbor, say, are you growing in knowledge? Amen. When I'm growing in knowledge, not knowledge of science, not wrong in growing knowledge of science. I'm not talking about knowledge of finances. Not wrong in growing in your financial knowledge. Are we together? You're growing in finances. There's nothing wrong in growing in your knowledge of how to do business better. Nothing wrong in that, or nothing wrong with that. But look at this, is what we're talking about, growth in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and then in 18. In 18, he says, in fact, if you look at verse 17, he says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also. Why did he say you also? Because that is already happening to some people. Did you understand? It's already happening to some people. So he says you also. So he says you therefore, beloved. He's talking to the saints in the church, in the churches. You beloved. If you've seen, you know these things before, beware, be careful, lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, hallelujah, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever, amen. So he tells you what to grow in. He didn't say grow in the knowledge of science and AI. Nothing wrong with that, but that is not discipleship in Christ. Did you see that? Nothing wrong with that. It is a grow in the knowledge of medical science. It is a grow in the knowledge of astrology and astronomy. No, he didn't say that. There's nothing wrong in understanding the world around you, but that is not discipleship in Christ. When it comes to what the church should grow in as a church. That means when we are growing in the knowledge of science, we are not growing in it as a church. Praise God forevermore. When we are growing in the knowledge of medicine or medical science, we are not growing in it as a church. When we are growing in our understanding of how to socialize, it's good to grow in those things, but we are not growing in it as a church. But the thing that we are expected to grow in as a church is the knowledge of Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So when we come together like this, it is for the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we come together, Sunday morning, when we come together, it is who? For the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 2. Quickly. Acts 2. Acts 2. In Acts 2, do you have a Bible? Please open it. Thank you. Acts 2. Acts 2. The book of Acts of Apostles. I said, was it Acts 2? Acts 2. Which book is that? Acts of Apostles, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Look at verse 41. I want us to read 41 together. Acts 2 verse 41. Yeah, we wait. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. Chapter 2, verse 41. Are we there? Okay, so let's read together. Once we go. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. How many people? How many people? Are we up to 3,000 this morning? No. Are we together? Are we together? So this was a larger congregation. Right? Now notice it says they were added 3,000. So that means they were more than 3,000 at the end. Because it will be a figure plus 3,000. Right? Right? Can I get responses? Good. So look at verse 42. Everyone wants to go. And they were? They were? So who continues steadfastly? The 3,000. Praise God. The what? So can we say 3,000 converts? How do we say today when we have crusade? We say we had 3,000 decisions for Christ. I love that statement. You know, I love that statement. Sometimes you, when Pastor Chris holds crusade, he said, they have 1,000,000 decisions for Christ. That's very beautiful. Hallelujah. So, on the day of the Pentecost, they had how many decisions? 3,000. So, in verse 42, he now says, those 3,000 did what? They continued out steadfastly. And that word also describes what discipleship is about. Steadfast. They continued steadfastly in the what? Apostles' doctrine. And what? Fellowship. And in what? Breaking of bread. And in what? Prayers. So there are church activities. There are things that we do as a church. There are things we do in the world. But there are things we do, I didn't say in the church meeting, I say as the body of Christ, as believers. There are activities that identify Christians. That's what I'm saying. There are certain things by which you identify Christians. Praise God. There are things you identify. When you see those things, you say, this is a Christian. And I know today, we have some symbols of Christianity, like this thing that people wear. What do you call it now? Rosary, right? So some people put on rosary. Put on rosary. And you know, it's very distinct. I've seen someone before put on the chain. A Muslim lady. She put on the chain thing, those tiny chains ladies use or women use, you know, like that one on you. And then that chain has something like a cross. But I knew she was not a Christian because I saw that thing. I just saw that. Yes. No, she's not a Christian. Praise God. You know, but that rosary is distinct, right? And sometimes when you see rosary on people, you say, this person is a Christian. Even though it's not enough. You can have 30 roses on your neck. I don't know why you will, though. But you can have 30 roses on your neck. It doesn't make you a Christian. Are we together? Or let's say you're passing by somewhere. You're passing by. And then you see, you're hearing, you know, a sound coming from a room. And in the room, they are saying, good morning, Jesus. Good morning. What comes to your mind? They are Christians, right? I mean, so those are like acceptable signs, even though it doesn't mean they're Christians. Glory to God. The fact that someone shouting Jesus, does not mean the person a Christian. I remember there was one Babalawo. There was one Babalawo somewhere in the east where there was too much around him. He started screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He used to advertise charm.
He gives charm to people. So when problem came, he shouted, he called on the name Jesus. Praise God. So the fact that someone calls on Jesus does not mean that the person is born again. Amen. But let's say you go out of here now, then you meet somebody down the road and he carries like 13 Bibles. What comes to your mind? Is a Christian. Well, he might not be a Christian because he might be selling them. And I've seen folks sell Bibles and they are not Christians. I mean, I've met. I tried to negotiate the Bible. I said, are you not a Christian? He didn't allow me to negotiate. Because for him, it's just business. Anyway, why should I negotiate Bible because of a Christian? Hallelujah. So look at that. It says they continue how? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. So how do I know this person is a disciple of Jesus? He says they continue steadfastly. He is growing in the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that in Acts 11 and verse 26. So look at this. A disciple is somebody who is learning. So when we say a disciple of Jesus, learning about Jesus. How many of us, since we joined church, have been learning about Jesus? Can you just signify? You've been learning about Jesus. Praise God. Can we signify? So I know who is not being discipled yet. Alright. Thank you.
Praise God. Virtually everyone learning about Jesus.
Amen.
So he says, go make disciples.
Now, one of the things that proper discipleship does to you and I is that it gets you to be well grounded and informed in the knowledge of Jesus. You're grounded. You're grounded. When is someone grounded? You're grounded when it's difficult to deceive you. It's difficult. It's difficult. God wants it to be difficult for you to be deceived. It's difficult. There are some people that it's very easy to deceive them. It's very easy. Very easy. It's easy to confuse them. Confuse. That was what we just read in 2 Peter 3:17. He says, but you, beloved, you know these things. So don't be led astray. Don't fall from your steadfastness. He says, led astray by the error of the wicked. Don't be confused. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be confused. So look at it. You make it difficult to be confused when you focus on the knowledge of Jesus. That's what discipleship does. So Jesus is not meant to just be believed. It is also meant to be learned and grounded in. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only given to us to believe in him, Do I have your attention this morning? Yeah. Do I have your attention this morning? Yeah. The Lord Jesus is not only given to us to believe in. He is given to us to also learn him and be grounded in him. Be grounded in him. Be grounded in him. Where it becomes absolutely difficult for somebody to confuse you about Jesus.
some Christians, it's very easy to confuse them because they don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. So they go somewhere, and then the person tells you, it is the reason why you are not yet married. It's because you have some partner that you did not consent to. So they said you have a spirit wife. Have you heard that before? Spirit wife. They said you have spirit husband and spirit wife. Praise God. They haven't read the part of the Bible that says angels don't marry. Neither are they given in marriage. And now, are there afflictions of devils? Yes. Are we together? But to say that you have a spirit husband or a spirit wife, then they start telling you to do things. Now, you have to believe it first, before you do the things they ask you to do. They say, oh, what do I do? Now, the moment you start saying, so what do I do? You believed it? Then they tell you to bring candle. Then they give you the color of the candle. You know, as though the demon doesn't like colors. So you get the color of a candle, then you light it. Then they said, you put this candle at your forehead. Not on your forehead, I mean, you put it somewhere. Then you do all sorts of things. The Bible says you're already worshipping demons when you do that. Already worshipping demons. They get you to do things because you are not grounded in the Word of God. So you fall prey. Some people tell you that before God can bless you, you have to sow seeds. So they said, the Spirit of God told me that there are 10 people here, or 50 people here, that can give 10 million naira each in 24 hours. God is going to do this. And then you believe those things because you are not grounded in the Word. They are good for the world. Look at me. It is stressful when you don't know the Word of God. It is more stressful when you don't know God's Word than it is to learn God's Word. You think learning God's Word is stressful? You think it's stressful to come to a good church on Sunday morning where you are taught the Word of God? You think it's stressful to be invited over to cell meetings where the Word of God is taught? You think it is stressful to be in the church in the midweek service to hear the Word of God? You think it is stressful? No, it is more stressful to not know God's words. Are we together? Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and what? And fro. Do you know what is tossed to and fro? How many of you know about simple pendulum? You know pendulum, right? You know pendulum? That's how Satan tosses some Christians. No substance, no depth. No depth. See, I have depth. No depth. No stability. It is not good. It is not God's will for you that you will not have stability. God wants you to have stability in His Word. Hallelujah. Stability. Strength of will. Conviction. Knowledge of the Word of God is your greatest asset. is your greatest asset, the knowledge of the word. So look at this. A disciple is someone who is being properly grounded in the word of God. So one of the benefits of discipleship is that you are grounded, you are informed. You are informed. You are informed. You have the information, the conviction. Informed about what? You are informed about what God is doing. Some Christians are more knowledgeable about the works of Satan than they are about the work of God. No. Don't know Satan more than you know God. No. The knowledge of God is enough to thwart all the works of Satan. The knowledge of God. The only person that man was called to learn properly is his creator. Every other knowledge is secondary. Is it clear? So Jesus called the knowledge of God serving God. In Luke 2, the knowledge of God, he says he's serving God. So look at that. Discipleship helps you to be grounded in what? Can you respond to that? In what? In what? In what God is what? Doing. Discipleship helps me to be grounded in what God is doing. What He's doing. Hallelujah. Now in Matthew 28, which we just read, He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Hallelujah. He says, make disciples of all nations. Amen. So make disciples. No way to go forevermore. Look at chapter 18, because we're looking at Christian meeting. In Matthew 18, you know, Jesus has said concerning, if you look at verse 15, he says, Matthew 18, 15, if you are there, say amen. Alright. So how he says, moreover, if a brother shall trespass against you, he says, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained your brother. So we said reconciliation is God's plan. You know, he says in 16, but if he will not hear you, he says, say with thee one or two more than in the mouth of two, three witnesses, everyone may be what? May be established. Then he says in verse 20, he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we have said that the name of Jesus is not just referring to the alphabet. It doesn't just refer to the alphabet. You know, J-E-S-U-S. You've seen that several, right? That the name of Jesus refers to, in the Old Testament, he speaks of his presence. He speaks of his authority. He speaks of his glory. So when he says, in my name, where two or three people are gathered together in my name, it has to do with his authority, his glory, his presence, which is his will. Because the name of the Lord in the Old Testament books has to do with his presence, his personal presence. We already see that in chapter 28, which you just read, when it says, lo, I am with you always, or always. Which is the word always. So he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you. And when he says, I am with you, he was talking about his personal presence. What does he mean by I am with you? That is his name. His personal presence. His name. His presence. We'll see that in John's Gospel, in John chapter 14. Let's look at something there quickly. In John's Gospel chapter 14, he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What place is he talking about? Now, some folks have wrongly read this text. And they've thought things like, no. They take their mind away from what Jesus is saying. They now begin to talk about real estate. Real estate in heaven. Thank God they don't say they are house agents. It would have been terrible. Especially if you are going to heaven from Nigeria. You'd be like, oh God, how do I get accommodation? Because it's not just about having money. Oh God, if you were in heaven, you go to heaven from Nigeria, you would not know how it looks like. You already have a picture. But thank God, you didn't see their house agent. In fact, it looks as though Jesus is the agent. No, he wasn't talking about real estate. In my Father's house, we said the word house there, the word oikia, right? Right? Oikia, which is used for household. It is a people, not a place. In my Father's household, another word for that is the word family. It's from the Old Testament word bayit, which is used for a people. When God told Abraham, he says, get out of thy father's house. He wasn't talking about a location. He was talking about an influence. Get out from thy father's household. Because they were an idol worshipping community. So house or household in the scripture is not a place, it's a person. Are we together? Or a people? So when he says in my father's house, in my father's family, are we together? Why does he use the word father? Because there's a family. You can't call someone a father and there's no family, right? You cannot. You can call someone a man, are we together? And there's no family, but you can't use that word father and there's no family. So in my father's family, he says there are many what? Mansions. Now, the mansion there is not talking about large real estate. Because even grammatically, as I told you, grammatically that is not correct. You cannot have a mansion in the house. So grammatically that's not correct. So when it says mansion, we've seen that word separately. It is the word mone. M-O-N-E in the Greek. Which is used for dwelling places. So in my father's family, there are many what? Abiding places. Does that clear you? He's not talking about real estate. He's talking about the body of Christ. Because he's about to tell them that there's enough space for you. Enough space for the world. Jesus wasn't talking about rapture either. Because he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That's why when you read verse 3, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, some people have read this text and I'm told he's talking about rapture. He's not talking about rapture. No. No. If I go to prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, if you read on, it says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Then look at what Philip said in verse 8. He says, show us the Father. That is enough for us. Verse 9, can we read together once you go? Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has seen me as who? Can we take it together? He that has seen me as what? How seest then thou? Show us the Father. Verse 10. Everyone wants to go. Believeth thou not that I am in the Father? And the Father what? Where is the Father in this text? Wait. At this time, where is the Father? You didn't read the text.
I told you to read it. Go back to it. Now go back to verse 4.
Verse 4, everyone wants to go? Wait, read verse 3. If I read verse 2. In my father's house, there are what? So we said, in the father's family, there are many what? Abiding places. Are we together? Then he says what? If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, everyone. Open your mouth and read, open your mouth and read, open your mouth and read. Louder, 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 louder. Verse 4. You are not reading. Verse 4. Read on. Verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 8. Sure, the Father survived. Verse 9. Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And as he has then thou, it is sure of the Father. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father what? So wait, at this time, where is the Father? In Christ. So the Father's house, a place or a person? A person. Did you see that? This text couldn't be talking about rapture. Are we together? It's talking about the reality of the new creation. The reality. Someone say, my reality. Someone say, my reality. Someone say, my reality. Is your reality today? Read on so you get it. Verse 11. Want to go? I'll take verse 12 together. Want to go? Okay. Verse 13. Now, pause. Go into verse 18. Want to go? I will not leave you comfortless. Okay, wait. Go back to verse 14. Want to go? I will do it. So who is doing it? Who is doing it? Someone say, you don't pray to Jesus. You pray to God in the name of, quit that sin. You burden yourself. He said, the reason why your prayer is not answered is that you are praying to Jesus. We are not supposed to pray to Jesus. We are supposed to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. When you pray to Jesus in the name of, quit it. Who is teaching you false doctrines? Are we together? Who will do it? He says, I'll do it. I'll do it. Are we together? So when we pray in the name of Jesus, who does it? Answer me. When we pray in the name of Jesus, who does it? You're reluctant to answer because you don't know what name means. Name means the authority of the person in government. It is that person that does it. Do you get it? He says, all authority is given to me. So why treat him as second class and go to somebody you think is higher? All authority is given to me. That means I get things done. He does it. Jesus. Not your regular guy. He is God. Is it clear, church? So, some people are so conscious about, did you pray in the name of Jesus? No, I pray in the name of Allah. He is not a go-between. Jesus is not a go-between. When he says, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. He wasn't saying that you can't cross over to the Father's side if you don't pass through me, as though he's the potter. No! When he says, I am the way, I told you, the way there is an old English for a statement that implies the destination. Is what odos. When you have odos, you are talking about It's a path that is also the destination. He is the one there. So when he says, I am the way, he didn't say, I am a gate that you pass through. So now get to where you are going. He is the one. He is God in the flesh. He is God. And the fact that he carried the flesh did not make him a lesser God or less than God. That is divinity. Our God in man. Are we together? He is God who became man. He is God. So we pray in his name to who? He is the one doing it. He calls the shots. If you go to heaven and you see the throne and somebody sits on the throne called God, if you look closely, you see Jesus. He is the one. He is the one seated on the throne called God. So because of redemption today, man is seated on the throne called God. Don't screw your head. Just receive it. The seat of God is occupied by a man. He became man. That's the incarnation. And when he rose from the dead, he says, touch me. And they touched him. And their hand did not pass through and show up here. He says, give me to him. And they gave him, and he ate, and he used his teeth. He didn't say, they also give him. So let's continue what we are saying. And he threw it into himself. No. He says, look at me. He says, for spirit has not what? Flesh and what? And blood, as you see me have. In other words, I'm not a ghost. I'm a man. Praise the Lord. So we sing the song, God in man what? Who died for man. And he rose as a what? As a man. Glory to God forevermore. So look at that. He says, I am in the Father, and the Father where? In me. So the authority of God is with him. That is why he is described as somebody seated. He didn't say at the right side of God. He says at the right hand. There is no Bible text that said at the right side. And when he was talking about the right hand, he expects you to come from the Old Testament mindset of the right hand. Because when they call somebody the right hand of the king, it means all the authority of the king is vested on him. So he uses that language to describe his authority. Are we together, church? The incarnation is God walking in the streets of men as a man. So look at this. He then says, verse 15, so can we read on? If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Keep my commandments. Now, why does he say that? Why does he say that? Now, you won't understand that. You won't understand what Jesus was doing. But if you are studying your Bible rightly, there will be a conflict in your mind. If you are really a student of the Bible and you are reading this statement, there will be a conflict in your mind. Because there will be conflict in your mind. If you have read your Bible well, if you have studied the Old Testament well, and you are reading John 14:15, there will be a conflict in your mind. Because the only one that ever said, love me and do what I say, is God. There will be a conflict that, who is this guy? Some say, give me a text where Jesus said he is God. He doesn't have to say it that way. Are we together? He had already said it in multiple ways. At another point, he says, He says, what do you think about Abraham? Then the Pharisees answered. Then he came and said to them, he says, that Abraham, before Abraham, I existed. And then the guy was like, ah. And he kept smiling. He said, because the Jew understand it. They understood what he was saying. They look at him and say, you are not 30. You are barely, I mean, you are just 30 something. And look at Abraham. Are we together? Look at Abraham. He said it in many ways. Many ways. Many ways. Many ways. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. This is Exodus 20 coming back to you. Exodus 20. Leviticus 19 is coming back to you. You must do this. I am the Lord. So there will be conflict if you are in the Old Testament way. He is sounding like God. Is he truly God? That's the conflict that will be going in your mind. Is he truly God? He is sounding like God. Why is he talking like God? Why does he say, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me? Who dares is that? Who dares is that? Who dares make such a statement? Only God. Hallelujah. The truth of Christianity is that God became a man. If you refute that fact, believe every other thing, you are not born again. I didn't say that. John said it in 1 John. Any spirit that denies that God is come in the flesh, agree with any other thing. If you deny that fact, it is that is the Antichrist. That's the crux of Christianity. That God became a man. We're looking at Christian meeting. Are we together in the church? So look at that. He says, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter, that he may abide what? With you. Now look at this. Look at this. It is the 17, everybody wants to go. Even the spirit of what? Of this reality. It is whom the world cannot receive. Because what? He sees him not. Okay, so he uses him for the spirit. He uses him for the spirit. Thank you. He sees him not. Neither what? Knoweth him. Now wait. Who did we read about in the same John that he was in the world and the world received him not? Was that Jesus? Thank you. So he says, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, he says, because he sees him not. Now it doesn't mean that the people can't see Jesus, but it means they don't have the revelation of him. So look at me, everybody. It is okay. The world will always be wrong about Jesus, but you must know who he is. The world will always be wrong about him. That controversy had been since the beginning concerning Jesus. They didn't agree that he is God. So it is not news that today it becomes the major bone of contention. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? The world will not know him. The world will not know him. In Matthew 16, it says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Then the Bible says, disciples then said, it says, some say that John the Baptist. It says, some say that Jeremiah, some say that Elijah, you know, others says one of the prophets. Then it says, who do you say that I am? Then Bible says, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are we together? The Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that I am Peter, and upon this rock I have built my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are we together? I will build my church. Again, another statement that shows he is God. Because if you read, I will build my church, your mind will go back to the Exodus, where he brought out his people. And the gates of hell, that is Egypt, will not stop us. Oh, did he carry out the Exodus? That's the conflict again in your mind. Why is he sounding like he's the one that did the Exodus? He is the one. I showed you, I don't know if I'll talk about it in the conference, but I showed you a while ago that he was the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. You know, we read an angel of the Lord. We had to go back and see that many times God took on the personality of an angel in the Old Testament. Many times. You have to go read again. In the Old Testament, you will see activities of spirit beings that we call angels. In some other texts, you will see a supernatural being that ministers, you confuse him, you will think he's an angel like the rest. But you see that this is different. That is the Lord himself. He carried out the Exodus. He was in the Exodus. He championed the Exodus. Exodus is his character. So in the new creation also, Paul explains salvation as an Exodus, the works of Christ. Praise God. I say praise God. Worship Him. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, verse 17, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, right? For you are, He dwells with you and shall be where? You know, someone said that, no! I know the Comforter. That the Comforter is Muhammad. Why is he was Salah? It is Muhammad. He is the Comforter. Then show him, he says, then he dwells with you. He shall be in you. You have carried heat stick in Yoruba. Are we together? You know Yoruba word. You have carried it heat stick. Are we together? See, I don't carry it heat stick. Everyone, I will not leave you what? I will come what? To you. Did you see that? So the Spirit of truth refers to himself. Now look at something. Can we take 19 together? I want to go. Yet a little while the world see me no more, but you shall see me because I live, you shall live also. 20 wants to go. Can we take verse 20 together? I want to go. Everybody, can we read verse 20 together? I want to go. Did you see that? So the Comforter, now, when he says the Comforter, again, the text makes it look as though he's referring to a person. The Comforter is actually more than one. He's a more than one entity. Because now, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I will come to you again. Are we together? Now, he says, the Father is in me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. So, the concept of the Comforter is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, making their abode in the believer. Now, definitely, when he says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter. Are we together? I told you that that comfort or that ministry of comfort, amen, is an indwelling. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In that day, when I come to you, you shall know that I am in the Father, I in you, and you are in me. So the Comforter or the comfort is a union. The union of the new creation, or the union, let me not put it that way, the union of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and the believer
is what is called the comfort.
He's not saying that when something happens to you, I will tell you sweet, sweet things. Your emotions. No.
The comfort is an indwelling. Glory to God forevermore.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. And in that day,
glory to God forevermore, you shall know
that I, hallelujah, verse 20, in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day you shall know that I in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So you have the Father, the Son, and the believer by the Spirit. That is the Father's family. Is it clear, church? So look at this. He then says in verse 12, he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works. So greater works is because of the union. The greater works is because of that union. That union of the Father and the believer produces greater works. Did you get it? So it shows you that the works of Jesus are not done in his absence. The very reason why the concept of the rapture being taught as Jesus coming to his church is strange. Coming from where? He says, I am with you. You don't welcome somebody who has been with you all the while. Are we together? He says in Matthew 28, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you don't say welcome. So we have to look at the concept of rapture again. We have to look at the scriptures again. Is it a coming or is it a returning of Jesus? Because we have taught rapture as Jesus returning. Returning to where? He never left. He never left his church. Jesus never left. Are we together? What happens when he was taken from their sight? I told you. He was taken away from the physical world. Now the earth is more than the physical world. Are we together? He was taken away from their sight. That was why he kept showing up with who? With Paul. On the road to Damascus, he saw him. Are we together? Are we together? He saw him on the road to Damascus. So when Jesus was taken away in Acts 1, he was taken away from their sight. He did not leave the earth. He did not leave the earth. The writers of the New Testament will explore that union as the union of the head and the body. They call Jesus the head of the church. You don't sever the head from a body and it is still alive. He never left the church. He is with me. Or better put, he is with us. So God is with us in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Did you see that? That is what the name means. The name is a personal presence. He is with us. Where is Jesus today? Huh? With us. Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today? Is Jesus on the head today? Because you are sleeping. He said no. Are we together? You kept him somewhere. Amen. Where is Jesus today? He's with us. Is Jesus on the earth today? Yes. Glory to God forevermore. So there is no doubt or question as to where Jesus is. No doubt. In my Father's family,
He is in his body. He is in his church. That is why there are miracles. When you call, when you, look at this, when you issue a command and you use an authority to issue a command and that command becomes executed, it tells you that the authority is valid. Right? The authority is valid. If something happens and let's say the person whose authority you used, or let's say, to make it easy, I go to one of the ministries, let's say the Ministry of Works. As I go there, I said, well, I want to see the Minister of Works. And then he said, from where? And then I said, I'm coming from the government office, the governor's office. And then says, okay, so what do you want? And then he said, all right, so I want the office of the Minister of Works to commence this activity that is time bound. That's by 11 today. I want this to be done at this part of the city. What authority do you have? And I was given something, maybe a letter or a note from the office of the governor. Then I give to him. Then the Minister of Work or whosoever right there then looks at it and says, okay. They give him the pass. Release the machines for him to do his work. Why did the authority, the note, why did it work? Because the person I came, the person whose detail I used is still in office. Right? Right? Like I say, His Excellency Abdulrazak Abdulrahman had said that I should come around and then so-and-so machines should be released to us for a project going on at this local government. And he says, are you the one he sent? He says, yes. Who? You have not heard? And then we tell that day. All right. Okay, please. Tell so-so-so person, the drivers, to move the tools there. Now, the reason why they hid it is because he's in office. Now, look at it. Let's say some years down the line, a re-election is done and is no more in office. Then we have a similar project or the same project, and I go to the, what's it called again? You already smiled. So I go to the Ministry of Works again, and then I ask for the same thing to be done, and then I give them a letter bearing his name. The best they can do is that they can respect him, right? But notice that the respect will not get the machines out. Isn't it? The respect can get them to acknowledge it again, spend time on it, maybe start making calls and say, receive the letter from, there's somebody here, I will receive a letter for him. And he said, this person, sir, do you know about it? What do you think? What are they trying to do? They are trying to get authority from the sitting government. Maybe it will honor the past government. But the reason why his authority does not hold the same way should have held was because he is not in office. Did you see that? So if I go after a sickness and I call the name of Jesus, if that sickness gets healed, it tells you somebody is in what? Is in office. Did you see that? Look at this. That is why the signs of the believer are miracles. You must have it. It's not negotiable. Miracles are a proof of the resurrection. Do you get it? Do you get it? They show the world that Jesus is still what? He's still what? He's still what? On seat. So look at this. The miracles also will now be what? Diverse. So you hear all manners of what? Sicknesses. To show you that he is in the what? The higher office than sicknesses. Then the dead is raised.
He shows you he's in a what? Higher office than death. Did you see that? So miracles. That's why you come across some people, they call them the cessationists. They believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. No, they have not ceased. It's your ignorance and your foolishness that should cease. They have not ceased. You are the one that should cease from thinking that way. As long as Jesus is on the throne, there will be signs of his enthronement. Is that clear? And those signs will be manifested where? Through his church. All authority is given unto me. Go you, therefore. I have the gifts of the Spirit. Do you get it? So there's no doubt, like we said, as touching where Jesus is. Anyone in doubt? No. Where is he today? In this church. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just follow it as I'm saying it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, then Galatians, then what? Ephesians. No, there's Corinthians, There's 4 and 7 Corinthians after Romans. Are we together? Then you have Galatians, then you have what? Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Let's read verse 18. Want to go? Read the text. Everybody want to go? Which you wrought in Christ when it was? Raised him from the dead and what? And every what? Name that is named. He gave him to be the what? Head. Over what? All things. To the church, which is what? His body. The fullness of what? Of him. That was? So look at it. How does Christ feel everywhere? Through his church. He is in his church. Is Jesus a church member? Is Jesus a church member? Yes. He is a member of his what? Of his church. He's not a church member as you are thinking. Don't worry. I didn't really use it. Are we together? Is Jesus part of the church? Thank you. So is there doubt as to where he is? Are we looking for Jesus? Are we looking for Jesus? Are you Mary looking for Jesus? Who is looking for Jesus there? I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. Do you go to the mountain looking for Jesus? Answer me. No. Do you go into the river looking for Jesus? It's something else you will find. Looking for Jesus, then go to the river with soap and sponge. How? Looking for Jesus? Abel and green. Looking for, sorry, someone are wearing green clothes. Let me change it. Yellow. Is there any yellow clothes? Any color? Looking for who? You are not looking for Jesus. I told you in the morning. So we are saying in the morning. The disciples what? Grounded in the knowledge of Jesus. We are not looking for Jesus as though he is, you know, yeah, when we talk about, you know, seeking after the Lord, it is not because he is lost and can't be found. So you need to do lost but found. Do you remember lost but found? Lost but found, lost but found, lost but found, lost but found. Then when he went to spoil, he said, Careless owner. Which we say, stupid finder. Careless owner, stupid finder. Are we together? We are not looking for Jesus as though he's nowhere to be found. When Jesus is nowhere to be found. No, I am not Cleopas. Are we together? We're looking for Jesus. He's nowhere to be found. Why are you crying? I'm looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? I'm looking for Jesus. Where did they put Jesus? Mary said, where did you put my Lord? He was asking his Lord where they put his Lord. That was Mary. When she turned to see Jesus, he said, where are you, my Lord? You can imagine that. You know, she's going to say, where are you with my Lord now? No. You know, with that spanker. Are you asking for me that way? Are we together? And she must have been, you know, she's just, he's not here. And then that was the Lord looking at her. Hey! Are we together? That was the Lord looking at her. That was the Lord looking at her. That was the Lord looking at her. And then she had the revelation. La boom. And then the atmosphere changed. Lord, behold, the Son of God is Lord over death. Are we together, church? Risen from the dead. Christianity is not a dead religion. No. It is an enforcing of the kingdom of the living Son of God on his head. When we go out on evangelism, we are not going to rule out a dead creed. No, it is not a dead creed. It's a message of life. It's a message of life. If you have not been evangelizing, you are missing out. It's a message of life that God will use your lips to breathe into his nostrils the bread of life. And that man becomes what? A living soul. Your lips. How is God breathing into nostrils today? Through your preaching. That is why a Christian who does evangelize, there's a level of joy you will never realize in the faith. There's a level of joy that you will never realize in the faith. If you don't evangelize, you don't go after the unsaved to preach the gospel with power and then develop, believe the gospel. Then look at this, you pray with the fellow and he begins to speak with tongues. Do you know how it looks like? Mambrakasta. Ah! Because you laid hands. Sometimes as you're preaching, you come across sicknesses. Sicknesses. Are we together? Sicknesses. Sicknesses. And then you go there, then you lay hands. Hallelujah. And the sicknesses go. They go back to hell where they came from. Are we together? You put the sickness on the demon that caused the sickness. A little bit. You call the demon. Come here. Where are you going? Because oftentimes, when there are demonic afflictions, there is the devil that caused it. There is the affliction. Are we together? So two things happen. The affliction is healed. Because affliction means a body part has been tampered with. Are we together? It has to be biology. It is biology. Something has been tampered with. It could be an enzyme level, an hormone level. Something has been tampered with by that devil. So there is the devil, there is the issue. Are we together? So when you heal the condition, you cast out the devil. You don't let the devil go free. Come on. Collect your mat. If you come back here again, I'll deal with you. Are we together, church? That is your authority. So look at me. I'll say one or two things and close this morning. So there is no doubt. Tell your neighbor, say there's no doubt. Jesus, by His Spirit, is always with us. So we need to know, therefore, what He is doing. What is He doing? Secondly, how He does it. What is He doing? How He does it. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1, Paul spoke about intelligence. Intelligence. David, in the same, spoke about Moses' intelligence. You see, those two people, Moses and Paul, they have intelligence of the things of the Spirit. In Psalm 103. And then in verse 7. He says in verse 7. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. His acts. In other words, the children of Israel, Psalm 103, verse 7 now, the children of Israel, they saw His acts. What are His acts? Miracles. Are we together? But He says He made His what? His way known to whom? Moses. The word way is the word derek. It means His will, His intention. So there's something God is outdoing that made the miracles to happen. So we don't stop at the miracles. Are we together? We find out what He is doing. So Paul spoke about that intelligence in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Intelligence. So he says He made His way, His direct, His plan. Hallelujah. So Christ is with us. But what is He doing? And how is He doing it? So look at this. In discipleship, you become smart. Through discipleship, you become intelligent. You know what He is doing. You know how He is doing it. Why? So that you can be part of it. Don't find out what God is doing somewhere. Be part of what He's doing on the earth. So you will not hinder it. Are we together? You are intelligent. You are learned. You are learned. You know what God is doing. See, I know what God is doing. Where is He? We know where He is. Matthew 18 verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. But what is He doing? You need to know. How is He doing it? We need to know. Glory to God forevermore. So Christian meetings. I told you therefore, in Matthew 18, verse 20, when He says, where two or three are gathered, there in the midst of them I am. It shows you that God uses meetings. So I ought to know what He's doing and how He does it. I must understand the science of Christian meetings. The reason why many come to meetings and they don't get blessed is because they are dull. Now, when Jesus used the word dull, In Luke 24, oh fools and slow of heart, dull of heart. It didn't mean that those folks, if they sit down to write an exam, they will not pass it. No. Don't forget, the rich fool was rich. Right? That means he wasn't a stupid person. But when it comes to the things of God, he was foolish. Even by the time you listen to him, he says, oh, I will break down my band, right? And I will build again. You know what? He's saying, something like, how do I maximize this profit? How do I maximize? Okay, I have a building. Let me break it down and rebuild. And then let me diversify. So he's an intelligent guy. That's why I told you that there is knowledge in the world, but there's what we are growing with as a what? As a church. There's what we are growing into. In the church, we are growing in the knowledge of Jesus. So the rich fool probably had his MBA. He probably did his CFA. He probably wrote his ICAN and he passed. He probably understands accounting. The rich fool. But why was he called fool? He was called foolish with respect to God's plans. I'm not foolish. In the name of Jesus. I'm intelligent in the things of God. In the name of Jesus. I am intelligent. My heart is taught. My heart learns the things of God. I am smart, responsive, open, learned in the things of God. Hallelujah. He took the wise men to show Herod that the child had been born. The guy was dull. And then, the next thing he does, dullardness. He now set up an army. He now unalived thousands of kids. How daft can you be? He said, somebody that is born king. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't come to compete with you. You are dull. Your dullardness about the things of God can make you to ruin lives. Jesus didn't come to compete with him on the throne. If Jesus wanted to, he would. All Israel followed him. All Israel. He had crowds so much that the church, the market, the politics were intimidated by the crowds that followed him. The people came at the time, they said they wanted to make him king. He was so clear. And he showed them, he said, don't think that these physical things you're seeing are the backings I have. I can call the Father and he will send me what? 12 legions. That means supernatural backing is deep. He says, no, my kingdom what? Is not of this world. Know your place. The guy was dull. Herod. Very dull. You see, some people today, they have privileges. Privileges. Lecturers on campus, sometimes employers of organizations, some people, public servants, and political offices. You just see that this guy is a dull person. He's just dull. Don't be dull. See, I'm not dull. I'm intelligent in the things of God. You must know what God is doing. The opposite of knowing what God is doing is to be dull. When you are dull, even God's plan is not safe around you. The kind of thought that goes on in your mind about the things of God. Glory to God. So he uses assemblies. I'll start from there today. God walks through meetings. There is tools. There is tools. When you see a farmer wanting to walk, what does he look for? Old-time farmers, I know today they say tractors, are we together? Old-time farmers, they will use what? Hoe and what? And cutlass. Are we together? When you see someone in a white lab suit with a stethoscope Are we together? You don't have to doubt the fact that this is a doctor. I mean, you walk into an hospital, and then you bring someone who needs a medical attention. And then you stand there, and then they're talking, and say, wait for the doctor. There is someone come down the stairs into the lobby, wearing a white lab suit, and has a stethoscope on his, maybe with a file. And he comes to where the nurses are. And then you're asking him, are you the doctor? No, he's the shoemaker. You know, sometimes you ask questions like that. Someone is dressed up going out. Are you going out? No. I want to go Christ. Someone just says, in the morning, yeah. Have you woken up? No. I'm traveling. But it's okay, alright? It's okay. You know, but I mean, you don't doubt that this is the doctor, isn't it? You don't doubt this is the doctor. Because you see his tools on him. Right? You walk into a secondary school in those days. You have a student that says, Don't get my time. In those days, a sign that when you need pancreas. And the pancreas usually have different shapes. Are we together? I remember one man, this is weird, that's his name. I remember one day we needed to do this teaching. But now we are his name. He was a physics teacher. He usually looks for, those pancreas, there are some of them that, this is pancreas. Some of them are just logs of wood. Some are, they are very sleek. When they use it, it will wrap itself around you. And you know, by practice and skill, that they have been using it for a very long time, the way they use it. They put it somewhere, they say, reach it from there. Yeah. You already know the measurement. It's a physics teacher, though. He puts it somewhere at your back like that, that your hand cannot reach it from here. Oh, yeah. It's on that line. And they are so fast. They are killing like 20 people within 10 seconds. If you taught us as good as you beat us, our lives would have changed. So good. And you know, did the government employ you to beat? Because you are so good at it. Are we together? So you see somebody walking with a pack of chalk. Today is now a marker. Then it was blackboard. Blackboard. And the first time we received cane in a week, just in Monday morning, they welcomed me to school with cane. And there are different categories. You came late. Late cover. You were in pick litter. Anyway, the kind of school I went to. Talking about 2006, 2007. Are we together? 2008. Are we together? Ready? Pick litter. Then you kneel down there at the after assembly. Then that's just badge one. Batch two, no socks. Because you are going to school. Oh man, I don't know. Oh man, they will meet you. The Spirit of God told you, even though he was absent, we're not wanting him there. Then you have no badge. Because you don't need to buy badge. 2020 naira. You did not buy a badge. Which other one? Bush here. Wrong corner. The other thing that you know called. Oh! So they are badges. Period one, period two, people are still being killed. And your meat already in period two. And you are outside receiving flogging. Are we together? So you see, white chalk, I remember then in those days, on Friday night, in fact, Monday, you see, you will fall into a category, forget it. On Monday morning, there's a category for you. Have it, brethren, when we all come together. And each of us have a reason to be flogged. Let all things be received with joy. Are we together? Do you know a bully? We used to clean blackboard. You know blackboard? Blackboard, I will go and get a good, there's a leaf with charcoal. You don't know. that will pound it on Friday. We'll powder at home. Then we'll mix it, we'll powder that Ebola to then we'll mix it together. Then we'll look for duster, you know duster? Eh? Then we'll look for this agolo, this large thing. Then we'll pour water. Then we'll mix it, we'll thick. Then we'll carry it, we'll put it on all the bus. In case you escaped the flogging on the assembly, by the time the teacher enters the class and your blood is not black and shine. Since you didn't use the duster on Friday, they will use the cane to dust you. So you already know that the teacher because of his tools. Hallelujah. A tailor, scissors, right? Machine, tape, rule. Not the ones today that are using iPad. The iPad. Look at the design of the clothes. No, you are using AutoCAD. Cut that side away. My mom was a tailor. Just look at it and he said, come, measure you. You measure your chin. I didn't get it. Yeah, you are not writing it. She knows everything I have. That's a tailor. Look at this. When God wants to work, he looks for meetings. He looks for what? But we have said that he looks for men. Men are in the meeting. Meetings. We'll continue from here on Thursday. Meetings are God's tools. Miss the meeting, miss God's plan. Miss the meeting, miss what? God's. There I am in the midst of them. He didn't say, I'm in your room. Some say, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. Who told you? Who told you God is everywhere? Who told you God is everywhere? He said, God is omnipresent. You're right. But his presence is not manifested in every place. He is present everywhere, but he chooses where he walks. He chooses where he acts. So Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, he says, know you not that your gathering together, your body, he's not saying this physical body, no. First of all, he's not talking to one person. He's talking to a people. So you is a people. Know you not that your body, that assembly is the temple of God. One person is not called temple. A temple is a collection of stones. The description of every believer are stones, lively stones, first Peter. But now he says your body is the temple, is a people, a gathering, a meeting. So God works through meeting. There are some Christians who joke with meetings. They joke with meetings. They joke with gatherings. They joke with church services. Don't be a Christian that doesn't joke with God. Joke with services, rather. If you know God and you know his plan, you will not miss a single meeting in the church. Those that seem as though they are 5 and 6 with church meetings, church services, you think it's convenient? No, they know God. They know the law. We'll explore that more on Thursday. Is it clear? Ensure you don't miss any part of this teaching. God uses meetings because he walks through them. He walks through them. Are we together? So in the world of technology, Technology, in a world of technology, in a world where we can now put things on media, we can put it on the TV, so that what we are doing here, somebody that is in Los Angeles, Canada, Ontario, Birmingham, UK, Tottenham, everywhere in the world, Russia, Egypt, wherever, Cairo, wherever they are, can be looking at what we are doing at the same time. We must not let technology redefine our values. God doesn't change, even though the things of the earth changes. His methods doesn't change. He doesn't walk with men alone. Because we have said he walks with men, he walks through meetings. He uses meetings. Modernity, science and technology, civilization, AI, must not redefine our values, must not redefine the faith to us. God uses meetings. Are we together? And a meeting is not a meeting of one, it is two or three or more. You don't meet yourself. I had a meeting. You don't meet yourself. You are meeting another one, right? Are we together? Notice what he said. He said, if your brother has an oath against you, he says what? Hold a meeting. Hold what? A meeting. Hold a meeting. So God's plan for relationships is meetings. He says, hold a meeting with him. Now, if he doesn't hear you, what do you think you should do? Hold another what? Meeting. Did you see that? Two or three, right? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, truth and deception. If he neglects, we hear the brethren. Hold another what? Meeting. What is God and meetings? That is how he does his things. That is how he does his things. On Thursday, we'll go look at Genesis 1 text 26, the image of God. We'll see Christian meetings there. Meetings. In Matthew 18, he said, meet him alone. Then he said, 200 or 300 more people in the assembly. Then he says, the leaders of the assembly. Notice that there is no final decision till the assembly. In other words, look at everybody. Look at me. Look at me. There are many decisions we make in our personal lives that you are not permitted to make. God expects others to be involved in that decision making. And what you and them say is His word and directive to you. You are not permitted, people members. You are not permitted. You are not permitted. You are not permitted. There are some decisions that we make in our lives. You just make decisions anyhow. You just make decisions anyhow. Decisions on who to marry. Who told you that you are supposed to make the decision yourself? Decisions on where to settle down, you know, how basic decisions. I mean, even basic decisions. Something as basic as this person has done something, let's resolve it. He says no. A meeting. It tells you how deep and foundational meetings are to our lives. Godly meetings. Have you met pastor to talk about it? Did you talk to your cell leader about it? Did you talk to the assembly about it? The assembly.
The assembly.
Oh, the assembly. The assembly. The assembly. The assembly has a place in our lives. The assembly. The people of God. Two or three. A place in your life. The assembly. Don't despise the assembly. Don't despise the assembly. Say, I don't despise the assembly. In decisions, decision making. Decision making. Life issues. The answer is in the assembly. Some answers are not in prayer and fasting, it is in the assembly. No amount of prayer and fasting will get the Spirit of God to come upon Saul. It says, when you go by the guys, it says you will come into a company of certain men, they are prophets. And when you come into their company, the Spirit of God will come upon you and you shall. And when he came back from that meeting, the people looked at him and said, is Saul also a prophet? He says, you shall be a changed man. It's not fasting and prayer. You stress a lot because you do not discern the assembly. That's why we say that God is tearing up meetings. God answer. Give me another key there. Something else. God answer. Are we together? To the chaos in a city are meetings. So we trust God for spirit-filled meetings. I told our workers, I told our leaders months ago that God has instructed us as a church to keep our meetings the way it is. Leave it the way it is. I'm using it. I know sometimes people come around and say, in this church, why are you not dancing? Why are you not dancing? So you can sleep when we are teaching. Why do you not clap? Why do you not clap? Have you seen where they clap to praise God in the Bible? You do it because others do it. Clapping is the world's way of celebrating celebrities and superstars. God is not a superstar. He's a Lord. When you are worshiping a Lord, you're on your face. You're on your knees or your hands are raised. Keep the meetings that way. I'm using it as service. So I'm here to tell you this morning that there are meetings. But look at this. There are also special meetings. As we move closely, if you have a flyer, we can display that. In Christ's discipleship camp, it's an annual conference that God has given to us by His Spirit. God instructed us to hold that meeting. This February, there are meetings and there are special meetings. There are meetings you don't miss. There are things that God has designed, His plans and purposes on the earth that is meant to be done, to be carried out through assemblies. And the people of God, dear saints of God, miss out on God's plans for their lives because they are not where they ought to be. When they ought to be there, it will not be so with me. I am intelligent. I am open to the work of the Spirit of God through meetings. Are we together? In Christ's discipleship camp meeting is a camp meeting. That's why it's so dressed. It's a camp meeting. It's a meeting where the things of God are taught. Like I said, you look at the The theme of a meeting is making the whole earth God's recipe. That's God's plan for the earth. At the calamity, your hearts are open to see what God is doing. I said, there is no doubt as touching where He is. No doubt. But what is He doing? And how what is He doing? Are we together? Are we together? So God will put up meetings. Meetings. This is not a program like you have. Program. No. If you know our church very well, we don't build our meetings or programs. No. We are careful. We don't do make-believe things. Let's gather the crowd. How can we keep the youth busy? No. No time for that. No time for that. What does God want? Are we together? What is He doing on the earth? And God uses meetings to inform us and to enlighten us. Are we together? So look at this. And see what I said earlier. He walks through men. He walks through men in and through what? Meetings. Ezekiel Church. We'll continue from here Thursday evening. I might decide I will continue on Sunday and find a different thoughts for Thursday. But I think I want to stay on this for Sundays and Thursdays till as we usher in the annual camp meeting in Christ Discipleship Camp meeting 2026. Have we been blessed this morning? Have we been blessed this morning? You want to hold someone briefly and commit that person into God's hands. That you are going to honor the meetings that God has set aside for you. Go ahead and pray. Play something else. You are committing the person. Are you sure the person can rely on you? Look at the way you are praying. I need to pray for yourself. I said the person. Meetings that will best meet it. Oh, Kabaka. In Christ Discipleship Camp meeting, we receive four meetings from that meeting. We receive four meetings from that meeting. Meetings in and outside the city from that meeting, oh God. Some of you will receive grace for meetings from that meeting. You will receive divine gifts and enablement for all that meeting from that meeting. Oh,
Meeting.